Thank you for that. Praise God. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6. I took quite a while ago with prayer requests, announcements, and some other thing, and I'll try to make everything a little concise and not keep you so long, but I felt like those were very important. I want to encourage you that God's on the throne. We're trying to do what we can, you know, protect everybody. And I feel like we have a sense of responsibility that way. Whether you think masks are good or not good, we just ask you to wear them in and wear them when you're mingling around and wear them out. As long as you get seated, you're fine. And we just, whether it helps or not, I'm not sure. I got opinions about it myself, but we're doing that. And then we decided we would start trying to just check the temperature. Now, some of you who may not be here today, you may have heard some of those announcements, but I want you to come on. I'm not going to let a thermometer keep me from going to the house of God. Amen. I'm not going to let a mask keep me from going to the house of God. And if I had to take my shoes off at the door, I'd do that too. And before God would speak to Moses at the burning bush, first thing he told him to do is take your shoes off. And so if the Lord told us to take our shoes off, we'd leave them at the front door, come on in and worship God. So don't let those things keep you from being faithful to the house of God. We do trust God, like Brad said. We believe God's going to take care of everybody. We're just trying to do what we can to make everybody feel safe and comfortable. So you just obey God. We don't trust the Lord, not that we don't believe He's able. But I believe God can keep your teeth in your head, but I still brush my teeth 2 or 3 times a day. Say amen. Amen. All right. So He's been good to us. Now, look in your Bible. Now, I took a long time, but I've got a long message, but I'm going to do it a short time. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor amusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That crowd's not going. Verse 11, and such were some of you. That's what Brad just sang. Thank God I'm saved. And I'm not perfect, but I'm not what I used to be. Amen. And Brother Don Harrell used to come and preach for us all the time. And one of his favorite saying was, I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. God's working on me, and I thank God for that. Let me read on. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the sight of God. And in the Spirit of our God. I want to read that again. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on me. God, thank you for the wonderful singing this morning of the specials, of the congregational singing, and Lord, for being able to just be a part of God's plan and God's people today. Lord, it's been good for me to be in the house of the Lord. I sense the spirit of joy and presence of God in the place, and I pray, God, that you'd give me your anointing now. Speak to our friends in the media audience, and God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would move. Lord, I confess before you that there's no good thing in me. But dear Holy Spirit of God, please fill me, use me, speak through me today. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There are 3 little things in this passage of Scripture I want to try to share with you this morning. Number 1, I want to speak to you about deception. Number 2, there is a description here of unbelief. And then, in the last place, there is this idea of the deliverance from sin. Notice in this passage of Scripture, he begins with the deception. He says in verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now, if you have a pencil or a pen or something, would you underline that? Be not deceived. Satan is the master of deception. He's trying to deceive us. There are so many references in the Bible to this idea of deception. For instance, hold your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but just turn over to 1 Corinthians. Let me read one to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33, he says this, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But he said, you ought to shun profane and vain babblings, because they will increase to more ungodliness. Some people say, we have freedom of speech. I can say what I want to. But according to this passage of Scripture, what you say will affect what you are. Now, what you are affects what you say. But when you begin to say certain things, it will affect you. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. Don't be deceived about that. It's going to be there. And he said, you need to be aware of that. While you're looking, go over to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now, who's behind all this? Satan is. Satan to tell you, you got freedom of speech. You want to cuss, cuss. If you want to be unkind to people, be unkind to people. If you want to say hurtful things, you say hurtful things. It won't mean anything, but it will. Will it hurt them? Absolutely it will. Words hurt. Sticks and stones may break my bone, but words will never hurt me. It's a lie. You can say something to somebody today, and it'll haunt them the rest of their life. And thank God, God will help you. As a Christian, you'll learn not to let everything offend you, and consider the source and just ask God to help them and ask God to clear your mind. But I'm telling you, what people say to you will hurt you. So many kids right now are having a hard time in teen years and others, because when they were little, somebody in their family talked down to them all the time, always criticizing them, always saying something about them in a negative way, and it's affecting the rest of their life. I go back to when Becky graduated from Campbell University and had a dear black man to speak at the graduation. He is high up in our North Carolina State Department of Education. You know what he said? He has a couple of doctor's degrees. He's a Christian man, way up in the state government. He said, when I was 5 years old, my mama told me that I was special. There was nobody like me. God made me like I was, and that I could do anything I wanted to do as long as I trusted God. And he said, I believe that. When I was in high school, I believed that. When I was in college, I believed that. When I was working on my master's, I believed that. When I was working on my doctor's degree, I believed that. That God could help me to do anything. It affected him the rest of his life. And words affect you the rest of your life. And he said, you don't be deceived. Words have results. And your words, if you certain things you say, it will corrupt good manners. It will affect you in a negative way. Now, I notice, if you will, over in chapter number 6 of Galatians, it said this, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. He said, don't let the devil deceive you. The devil will tell you that you're not under law, you're under grace, and you do whatever you want to. There's a group called antinomianism. They believe that you're under grace, and so there's no such thing as law, and you can do anything. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. If eating meat offered to idols, what they do, idolaters would offer a sacrifice, and then they take the sacrifice off the altar and go sell it in the marketplace. And a lot of Christians wouldn't eat that because they felt like it was contaminated and defiled and all like that, because it had been offered to false gods. They had a conviction about that. Paul said, I could pray and eat it. It doesn't bother me. But if he said, I'm around somebody who believes that that meat is breaking a covenant with God, or it's hurt, they shouldn't do it, I'm not going to eat any meat. He said, I want to eat meat as long as the world stands, because I don't want to offend a weak brother. But now, this is different. He's talking about those who are saved, or say they're saved, or are saved. Instead of spending their time, instead of feed the Spirit, they feed the flesh. And you can do it with music, you can do it with entertainment, you can do it by whatever. But he said, now understand something. The devil will tell you that you can do anything you want to and it won't bother you. He said, that's a lie. He said, I don't care who you are, how long you've been saved. If you start catering to the flesh, giving in to the fleshly lust, letting the flesh, you know, war against the Spirit, and you not have any backup, he said, it's going to wreck you. So many Christians I've known and preachers I've known been faithful to the house of God for years. But when they start sowing to the flesh, boy, they shipwrecked. Don't be deceived about that. He said, you have to be careful. God is not mocked. In 2 Thessalonians, he warns about deception in regard to the end time and something specific about Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, Antichrist. He's talking about the great day of the Lord, not the rapture, but the great day of the Lord when he comes in judgment. He said, before that happens, there's going to be a great falling away. A lot of people are going to leave the church. A lot of people are going to get out of fellowship with God. There'll be a great falling away. And the Bible said, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold because of iniquity. I mean, they're so rampant. You better keep your heart, because you're living in a wicked time, and if you're not careful, what you see and hear every day will wear you down, and you'll just say, this is hopeless, and you won't keep on praying, you won't keep on looking for God, you won't be happy, you won't be positive, and you'll get that away, and you'll be wrecked. You'll be wrecked. He said, don't be deceived about that. And then he iterates a truth over in 1 John chapter 3. About deception that's similar to the text I've just read to you. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, it says this, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifest, that he might destroy sin. He's simply saying this. He said, don't anybody let them deceive you. Saved people live saved lives. Lost people live lost lives. They practice sin. They live a life of sin. Go back to our text quickly and look at this, deception. He said, don't be deceived. He said this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Now he lists here 10 things. Number one, look at verse number 9 again. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that is a person. That's a category of persons. And then the other things are revelations of who that person is. In other words, they're saved and lost. There's righteous and there's unrighteous. Saved and lost, righteous and unrighteous. And he said, there's fruits in both occasions. And he said, here are the fruits of a man who's not saved. There are 10 of them. Because people tend to say nowadays that everybody's saved. You know, people living in all kind of sin, but they're saved. They live in fleshly lives. Now, can a Christian sin? Sure. But here he gives a stern warning. You'd better check up. You're listening to me on the internet in this building. You profess salvation. You say that I am justified, but yet you live a lifestyle like this. He said, I want you to know. He said, that the people who live and practice that lifestyle, that's what they are. They're not going to go to heaven. You see, Satan can deceive us about sowing and reaping. He can deceive us about words. And here's a great, great deception. Satan doesn't care if you believe in heaven, hell, or not. That's in the Bible. There is a heaven, there is a hell. He doesn't care if you believe in heaven, hell, or not. But one of his great deceptions is this, to make you think that you're saved and you're not, to deceive you in thinking that you're saved and you're really not. The Bible said in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. People say, well, just trust your heart. I feel like I'm saved. I feel like, you know, so-and-so saved. I feel like they're saved. They're a good person. But Paul here, he's not taking that side of the story. He said, just feeling is not what you need. You need results. You need a real change. You can't just say, I was thinking about trying to explain it to you the way I think it is. It's kind of like if I, I have a cancer in my body. I have symptoms of that. I have fatigue. Maybe I'm seeing blood or there's other things going on. And I go to my doctor and I said, Doc, I got all these problems here. I'm fatigued all the time and my color's not right and I'm having unusual pains and I'm seeing blood. He said, well, Brother Billy, you're a good guy. You need to live a long life. You deserve to live a long life. You're a good guy. You're a good husband. And he didn't ever talk to Regina evidently, but he said, you're a good husband and you're a good daddy and you're a good grandpa and you're a friendly feller. You deserve to live a long time because you're a good guy. Well, that has nothing to do with the issue. The issue is that I have something inside of me that's killing me, and being a good guy won't fix it. Being a good daddy won't fix it. Being a good husband won't fix it. What's inside of me's got to be fixed. And what Paul is saying is this: you can look at people and some of them may live a good life. He says that in another place. But he said, when you look at people and they're living these type of lives, and then they'll try to tell you they're saved, he said, they're just not. They're not. Look at them. And I would deal with every one of them, but I want to read them. There are 10 of them. And he begins, here's the main heading. So what you got? You got the main heading. There's saved, there's lost, there's righteous, there's unrighteous. Not self-righteous, but God's righteousness. Righteous and unrighteous. And the unrighteous are the lost. And here are some characteristics of the lost person. It's fornication. That's sex outside of marriage. They just live a lifestyle. You know, it's free sex. Everybody has, you know, it's just fun, whatever, you know. And that's just the lifestyle. You have this partner, that partner, that partner. You know, some people brag about, you know, I've been with 100 men. I've been with 100 women. That's just their lifestyle. But it doesn't have to be that way. It could be just one person. It could be that you're living in a situation where you've never been married and you're living with somebody. That's what the Bible calls fornication. You live in that situation, you say, well, I just can't contain myself. There's a reason you can't contain yourself. You're unrighteous. You don't have the Holy Ghost of God on the inside of you. Do we all have desires? Yes. Do we all have lust? Yes. The Bible said we entice, drawn after our own lust. That's how Satan gets us. But for somebody to live that lifestyle, they're unrighteous. They're not saved. Then he talks about this idea a little further. He talks about idolatrous. Now, you don't have a lot of people around you who set up little idols, whatever, and worship them, but there are a lot of them. But really the whole interpretation of this Greek word is false worshipers. They worship in false gods. They may be worshiping pleasure, they may be worshiping success, whatever, or they may be worshiping a false Christ. They've got their concept of God. They've got their concept of Christ. The Christ that they know is for everything. You know, he loves them and they can do anything they want to and he'll still love them. And does he love us? Yes. Does he love us with the everlasting love? Yes. But they serve a Christ that you don't have to repent. They believe in a Christ that you don't have to be changed. He told Nicodemus, who was a good man, ye must be born again. You don't have to have that experience. All you got to do is just be happy and feel good and acknowledge the fact that there's a God and you worship Him, you know. It's false worship. And then he talks about adulterers. That's unfaithfulness. And certainly the primary emphasis is in the area of marriage, infidelity from husband or wife, but it also has the whole idea of unfaithful in a lot of things. Effeminate. What does that mean? Means a man who has the characteristics or the traits of a woman, given over to that. And I had a lot of stuff on that I was going to share with you. I'm not going to take time to do it now. But it is, I was trying to think how I could tell you who it is. If you see some of these folk on television and they are men who act and dress like women, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about those who have that personality, that lifestyle. Abusers of themselves with mankind, a lot of things involved in that. Homosexuality, those who were pedophiles, lesbians, those who defile themselves with mankind. Paul talks about that in the book of Romans in great detail. But now we're in a situation now where a person lives that lifestyle and they say that they are righteous. And Paul said, don't you be deceived. One way Satan deceives us is what if you look at it, it is a mental adjustment. Paul says this, don't be conformed to this world. The transformation or the confirmation of a person being transformed is a process. It's not flip a switch, you believe this and tomorrow you believe that. It is over a period of time being conformed, put under pressure, emotionally, mentally, every other way, and your heart being deceitful, you begin to accept what's wrong as right. And here's the sad thing. In my lifetime, in your lifetime, everybody acknowledged it was wrong. There were laws on every state in this union that it was a crime against nature. But time, conformity, just wearing down. Satan will deceive you by doing that. You get used to the dark. He said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Should I love adulterers? Yes. Should I love anybody in any of these categories? Yes. Do I preach the Word of God to them? Do I believe God can save them? Yes. Yes. But I'm just telling you, fact's a fact. He said, don't you be deceived. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Write this down. I'm not going to turn to it. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 24. Not only that, thieves, that is those who rob. Some people rob with a gun. Some people rob with a pen. I've known of situations where unscrupulous lawyers have maneuvered around and taken entire inheritance of a family. Somebody worked all their life to leave the money with their children, and somehow or another they maneuver around, they end up with the money, the children end up with nothing. Embezzlement, all those type of things. You can rob in so many different ways. And then covetous, that is lustful. It is that sense of never being satisfied. You want a new car, you want a new house, you want new clothes, you want all this, and your life is consumed with trying to satisfy the flesh. Our time is just about gone. I hadn't even got started good. Drunkenness, alcohol, drugs, whatever. Reviles, what's that mean? It means those who abuse others in so many different ways. Extortioners, those who obtain things by violence or by threats. Oh, listen, that's an awful situation. That is the description, the deception, and then the description. But now, here's what I want you to see, and I'm through. I'll do it quickly. Why do I want to pray for these people? Why do I want to not feel like I'm better than they are? And such were, look at verse 11, and such were some of you. He's writing to the church at Corinth. He said, some of you were adulterers, some of you were fornicators, some of you liars, some of you robbers, some of you involved these cases, and such were some of you. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. And I want to tell you, if I point out your sin, I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I'm trying to keep you from going to hell. You need Christ, and He loves you. But you can't live that. Those traits are a manifestation of what's in your heart. And with a heart, man believeth unto salvation. Your heart calls you to do that. Everybody's in a body of flesh, yes, but your heart must be right. Meaning you got to be born again by the grace of God. And notice what it is. There are three things, and I'll have to revisit this again and deal with these things. But notice what he said, and they're clear in your Bible. Mark it. And such were some of you. This is us. We were all some of that. We all fit in that category. And he gives another whole list of them in Galatians chapter 6. And such for some of you, but you're washed. How are you washed? You're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been washed in the blood. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You can take every one of those up there at the top of that and you lump them all into it and He'll cleanse you from every one of them. Every sin's ever been committed. Some people say, well, He can't forgive homosexuality. Sure He can. Do I believe God's given all over to a reprobate mind? Not entirely. God can save to the uttermost all that call upon Him, all that come upon Him. Only when I find the Bible that He will not forgive you of is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You can be saved in such where some, you can have your sins washed and be whiter than snow in the sight of Almighty God. And we are washed through the washing of the word of the Word. We grow in the Lord. You see, when you get saved, God saves you, forgives all your sin, but you may still have to battle certain things about the flesh. My father-in-law drank heavily before he got saved. And he told me years later, as he was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher and everything else, he said, if I took one drink right now, I'd be drunk for a dart. He said, my mouth waters when I see it on television. Part of the flesh, but he battles it. And he's overcome that. Walked not the flesh, doesn't give to the flesh, walks in the Spirit, and God gives him victory. You're washed in the blood. You're washed through the precious Word of God. You're sanctified. It means God has chosen you. God set you apart. He's made you uniquely His. You're now part of the family of God. By Christ, you've been placed in the one body. You're in His body. God has set you apart from the world. You're not in the world any longer. You've come out of the kingdom of darkness and put you in the kingdom of light. Out of death and put you in life. You're sanctified, means set apart for God. He's chosen you, set you apart. You receive Christ, and you're part of, you're His family. Thank God for that. That old lifestyle's gone. You're a different person now. And then notice justified. Justified. Three things. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. What's it mean to be justified? Quite simply, it is a legal term. It means to be just as if you've never sinned. Your whole record has been expunged. It's all gone. You wasn't pardoned. A pardon means that you still have the guilt. It's still on your record, but you've been pardoned. You don't have to serve the penalty for that. But what God said, He says that He washes and takes away our sin. Then it's no longer on the record. I got a clean record. You got a clean record. I mean, no matter how wicked you live, when you trusted Christ, you were washed, you were set apart, you were sanctified, you were justified, just as if you've never sinned. When you stand before God, you may remember every day your old lifestyle, but God doesn't remember any of it. He said, I will remember your sins against you no more. Thank God for that. How does that happen? It happens through the new birth. You're justified. You're justified freely. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's free. You come by faith, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to pay anything, you don't have to promise anything, you just have to acknowledge the fact you are a sinner and you can't do it yourself, you can't save yourself, and receive Him, and He justifies you freely. It's free. Grace. God's remedy at Christ's expense. Grace. It's receiving what we do not deserve. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But He'll forgive you of everything that I just listed for you there. But don't be deceived. You don't get to go to heaven unless you've been washed, unless you've been sanctified, unless you've been justified. If you're living in that lifestyle, whoever you are, wherever you are, there's a reason. You live that way because that's what's in your heart and life. God can have mercy on you. God can forgive you. And He will save you. Can a Christian commit any of those sins? Yes. But they cannot live in those sins. They cannot live in those sins. You're justified freely, but you're justified fully. The Bible said He's cleansed us from all sin. There's no penalty left. There's therefore no condemnation to them than in Christ Jesus. You're free. I'm telling you, it comes freely, but you're justified fully, but you're justified fruitfully. Just as if you'd never sinned, but He imparts to you His own righteousness. And when I say unrighteous, that means people who don't have His righteousness and no righteousness. The only righteousness they have is self-righteousness. But when you get saved, He imparts to us the righteousness of Christ. It's not me, but it's Him in me. He bore my sin. I got His righteousness. He took away my sin and put it on His Son, but put all the righteousness of Christ on me when I got saved. And same way with you. I'm now righteous. That means I'm perfect? No. It means I'm justified. It means I'm just as if I've never sinned. God looks at me and He sees the righteousness of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm justified fruitfully. Because of that transformation in my life, I bear fruit. My life, I've lived differently. I love this. Some of you were. Notice, you some were. But now watch this. But ye are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. You were, but now you are. You were, but now you are. You were these things, but now you're different. Now you are. It's fruitful. When God saves you, He changes you. Born again by the grace of God. And here's the wonderful truth about it. You're justified not only freely, not only fully, not only fruitfully, but you're justified forever. Forever. It's a one-time deal. You get born into His family, you trust Him as Savior, you get to live forever. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. This is a wonderful truth. Be not deceived. You're living in an age of deception. You hear people say one thing, but you look at them, you know that's not so. All you got to do is look back at the record. You're trying to deceive people. People live in a life of deception. And here's how Satan's deceived them. We think about Satan trying to deceive us and get us tricked into committing all types of sin. We're lost. We'll commit sin anyhow if you're not saved. But here's the deception. Deception is causing you to think that you're saved and you're not. If this is your lifestyle, if that's the way you live, according to the Word of God, you need to be born again by the grace of God. But you can be washed, you can be sanctified, you can be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. You can have that today. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for this day and for this service, for the Holy Ghost of God dealing with hearts. And God, I pray, God, that the sternness, the soberness of the message, God, that you'll use it. You said the Holy Ghost of God came to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If a person will never acknowledge their sin, if they never will understand there's a judgment on that sin, if they understand that they don't have any righteousness, that God, you're their righteousness, God, if when they come to that place, they can go to heaven by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But God, they can't go to heaven just by saying, I'd like to go. They can't go to heaven by saying, I believe in the Bible, I believe in Jesus. There's got to be a transformation. There must be a washing. There must be a sanctifying. There must be a justifying. And such were some of we of us. But God, now we are washed. Now we are sanctified. Now we are justified. You made a difference. Thank you for doing that. God, we're looking forward to the day when we'll have a brand new body. We don't have to drag around this old corrupt body anymore. We don't have to deal with the devil anymore. We don't have to fight our own wicked nature anymore, our weaknesses in the flesh. But God, I'm glad that God, you've done a work in our heart and life. We're not what we ought to be all the time. But thank God we're not what we used to be because of your touch and because you saved us. Now bless now our Father, those that hear the Word of God. I know our Father, there'll be some who will rebel strongly against what we've shared from the Word of God this morning. But God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will bring deliverance. I pray, God, they'll know the joy of being set free from every yoke and every chain and every bondage to become a Christian, saved by the grace of God. Lord, help them now. While we have our heads bowed and eyes closed here in the building and in the radio audience, I realize that I'm sure the great majority of all of you here in the building have trusted Christ. You're in a complete agreement with what I've shared with you because you've experienced it. Not one of you would say that you lived a good life behind you. Some of you didn't do what others have done, but most all of you would acknowledge, certainly you'd acknowledge the fact that you were lost. But there came a great transformation in your life one day when you got born again and God saved you. Your life is different now. You know that. And I want to encourage you right now, understand something. The devil in these hours are trying to deceive and destroy you in every way he can. Don't let him do it. Stay in this book. Stay close to God. Read the Word of God. Don't be defeated. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed with what goes on around you. Just trust God and rejoice. Go home today and write down this. I am washed. I am sanctified. I am justified. Freely, fully, fruitfully, and forever. Praise God. I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. God, help us now. Help people to be obedient to you. I don't know what we need to do. Brad's going to sing a verse or two of a song. And while you're in the internet audience and here in the building, if you're not saved, will you call on him today? Will you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to be born again by the grace of God? Will you accept him as your Savior and Lord right now? Those of you who are saved, if there's anything between your soul and the Savior, I pray that you'll turn it loose, confess it, forsake it, and let him wash you and cleanse you that you might have fellowship with him. We'll not be long. Brad will sing a verse of song. And you, if you're here in the building, you want to come, you need to come for any reason, you please come. If I can help you, pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. Let's stand together in prayer, seeking God. Invite you to come around this altar. If you've got a loved one that you need to pray for, please do that. Whatever your need is, you come right now.
Jesus is mine.
Oh, thank God for that.
Oh, what a foretaste.
Wonderful. Think about that.
Of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story.
Hallelujah.
This
Amen.
Is my song. Praising my Savior all the
Amen.
Day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's see, brother, if we can turn around and sing that chorus, let's sing it. Help us, help him sing the chorus now and rejoice together in this verse. Amen. God bless you, Brother Brad. Sing with him.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Well, this is my story.
Think about where it brought
this
you from.
Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's sing it again. And when you worship him, just keep your eyes closed, raise your hands, wave, praise him. Listen, let's worship him through this last chorus as we sing together.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Hallelujah. God bless you. You glad you're saved? Say amen. And such were some of you, but he saved us. Praise God.